Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, I've always appreciated the way that he approaches the game and the physical tools that he has. And you're right, I think we're all waiting for shoes to start dropping in Buffalo here. And it is incredible, as I speak to you, we're 2 weeks from the NHL draft, and people are expecting fireworks, and people are expecting fireworks from the Vancouver Canucks. So, I mean, Alex Tuch is a proven goal scorer with size and a guy that has a little bit of an edge to his game as well. So, yeah, without a doubt, if there is a path, then I know that the Canucks have been linked to basically the entire top half of the Buffalo Sabres roster. If they're playing, let's make a deal with the Buffalo Sabres, absolutely. I think serve them well to be kicking tires and kicking them pretty heavily on a guy like Alex Tuch.
That is from the Sakaris and Price podcast in Vancouver. And they were talking Alex Tuch on their show yesterday. And he's now a trade idea around the league. Morning, Jeremy and Joe. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning.
It's a beautiful good day.
Am I loud and clear here from...
Yeah.
I don't have a fancy name for this place, like Studio Capaccio.
You could just be Studio... It could just be Studio White.
Could be.
Studio...
I don't know. Something.
Studio Egg Salad? Studio...
Definitely not that.
Let's name Jeremy's studio. That's the game.
The Fear Bunker.
The Fear Bunker?
Yeah, just
Gene Steratore's basement.
Oh, man, that's tough.
What do they call the replay center?
The replay booth.
The replay
the
booth.
Center. The command center.
The command center. There you go. We can just run with that.
Well, good to be with you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. And obviously, we've been talking a lot of, you know, drought stuff today. Has not been the most upbeat morning, maybe because of us talking a lot of hockey.
Right.
Panthers tonight, by the way, game six. You can listen to that right here on WGR. So they're talking about Tuch there. I liked Bulldog on this yesterday about Tuch and, like, if he wants out, it's different. It's different because of his background, and like, if that guy wants to leave, just turn the lights out. Because
yeah.
I don't know what, like, that's, it, I would take that even further to what Paul said yesterday, and, you know, they're talking about Tuch there in, like, Vancouver. It doesn't matter where he ends up. If he isn't around here for the long term, I don't know. I'm gonna feel like he's only the first domino to drop, and that's for the big guns more than even Paterka.
Okay, then Tuch stays. What's different?
What's different is
you have a one carve out for guys that have pictures of themselves at 9 years old in a goat head jersey, and is everything else the same? I got a carve out for one guy, and everybody else is still the same. I feel no different about it because he's supposed to be special. So yesterday, that clip there is from Sekeres and Price are their names. They're guys.
Yeah.
They do a podcast in Vancouver. And I just, you know, clipped that or whatever. Took that clip and retweeted it. Got a lot of responses to it. And I don't know if these guys have any sort of sources, Joe, or like reporting on this or anything like that. But the reason I kind of put it out there and put the quotes, he's available and... expected to move or something, whatever the line was because that's definitely what the NHL thinks. The NHL thinks he's ready to move. My question to everybody would be this. What would you do if you were Alex Tuch? What would you do? Before you say, if he leaves, it's different, what would you do?
If I were Alex Tuch, I would want to go somewhere to try to win a Stanley Cup.
And would that mean that you didn't love the organization and grow up loving the organization and wish that things were different? I mean... A big response I got to that tweet, and a lot of the answers were, well, he would never do that. He won't do it. He's different. He's not Jack Eichel. He's not Sam Reinhart. He's not a guy that's eager and has no ties here. The blood with him is too thick, and he wouldn't do that. And I think he's got one career, and if he does that, I don't know if I want to take too much from it, just because guys leave their childhood teams, guys go play for rivals. It's just it's a business. He might go play for another team and then in 15 years be back here in the front office. I mean, yeah. I think about Michael Pekka. Michael Pekka's departure from the Sabres was not friendly.
He sat out a year.
Yeah. And he's around town. I don't think he, you know, he's an alumni. I don't know his relationship with the organization right now, but just there are players that want to stay that leave because of business. It's something that happens with the Sabres even before Pegula's ownership. So part of the Tuck conversation is, why should we really think it's any different other than the Sabres were able to kind of sell it as he did want to be here? How much did he really want to? He was traded for.
It would be funny if him being the face of guys that want to be here ends with he never really chose to be here. Because he got traded here and then
never
at first opportunity to sign, which was years down the road, but at first opportunity to sign, he went elsewhere.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, right? Like it is the reason why he would be different, or you could think he could be, would be, all right, this guy is more willing to put up with all of the frustration of losing because he's got an extra layer of meaning to the organization than anybody else would. But that's not for – I would also not assume that that is enough to get a guy to, at 30 next year, say, yeah, I'm going to spend the rest of my career here. When he's been close to the cup and has wanted to win the cup, my fear about it is more about what it would mean for the other guys. And like, well, if Alex isn't staying, and I'm Tage Thompson or I'm Rasmus Dahlin, like I'm gonna start thinking about what they're gonna think about that. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, if he's not staying and JJ's gone and like this thing's unraveling again, and maybe I need to get out too.
Well, how many guys control their destiny to do that? And yesterday, Paul said his opinion is if the Sabres kind of go poorly this year,
yeah,
and it goes poorly this year, then that's when Dahlin and Thompson start to make noise. I don't know. Tuck has a year. They could just play him for the year and treat him like James Cook on some level. Like, all right, if you're going to leave, you're going to leave. You know, maybe they'd want to pay him. Would overpaying, yeah. And that's another part of this, overpaying. Would he just get overpaid because the Sabres know they can't lose this battle? And again, like, I wonder how Tuck feels about it. Tuck might be a guy, again, from here who just, you know, listens to conversations, talks to people. He's he's connected to the community and all that. If he's talking about it, isn't he feeling pressure to sign? I don't know if we should make it.
Yeah.
The organization should fold up shop if he leaves, because then how does he feel about that? There's a lot of pressure on a guy that doesn't really deserve that.
Right. It also, by the way, is worth pointing out that he's not even eligible to sign yet. It's possible he just does next month. Although I don't know that it sounds like it's heading that direction. It feels more and more like, you know, if there are teams calling about him and there's a question about whether he wants to stay long term, maybe he wants to just see what they do. Right? Like, you got to convince me of the direction of this organization, because I'm going to want to win and I might prefer to do it here. But if I don't like what I see, then why am I going to commit 6 years to you, which is going to be almost the rest of my career, at least the rest of my prime, if I'm not convinced that you're heading in the right direction? And that could be as far down from who the GM is, and to what the moves they make this offseason are, and who, like, what his teammates think about how much longer they're going to be here. Because I don't even know if those guys would have conversations that honest, but if he knows that the other guys are starting to get fed up and that they might only be a couple of years from trying to hit the ejector seat, then why is he going to sign for six? That wouldn't make any sense.
All right. It'd be hard for anybody, I think, to, you know, buy in to what they're going to be. That doesn't mean that they're definitely going to be bad for those 6 years. I mean, they could be better next year. It's just a matter of, you know, a lot of athletes want to go to a winner. We can't, I guess, put it this way. You can't simultaneously pat yourself on the back for why players want to come to the Bills and say, like, this is a destination, and then be shocked when even hometown guys want to leave to go somewhere that's a destination. Put yourself in the – who's an NFL player from Buffalo? I mean, Gronk was – okay.
Gronk was from here.
Gronk. Yeah. I'm thinking of another one where he has the opportunity. Okay, a player is from Boston and dreamed of played for the Patriots or the New York and the Jets or Miami and the Dolphins, and they're a free agent. Like, I'm going to go play for the Bills because I want to win. And we would probably view that as like, well, obviously, yeah, of course you're going to do that. I mean, you might love that franchise over there. You might have grown up rooting for them. Patrick Kane turned down the Sabres, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had the opportunity to come here. He didn't. I don't know if he, whatever, his level of love for the franchise. I feel like talk is in a tough spot with it all. And I almost want to agree with everything about like that. That's would look so bad for them. And the responses to that tweet, that clip there from that podcast in Vancouver, the responses were a lot of if he leaves, just kind of what you're saying, like forget it all. But if he leaves, they would remain. And the reality is also it would only be folded up because PR looks bad. They've lost better players in worse circumstances.
They have.
They've lost Hall of Famers that didn't believe in the organization.
Yeah.
So
wouldn't it start to signal, though, the start of another, we have to light this thing on fire because these guys aren't gonna stick around a lot longer? Because that...
What does that even look like? Any different from what they are right now?
Well, right now, I at least have a few good players that... Is it not wrong to think they still are like two? I don't know. You'd give me the number. Is it two really good, savvy moves away from being in the playoffs? Because what I'm worried about is like the whole thing is starting up again with kids and prospects and picks with a new GM, or maybe it's still Adams. I don't even know. But that the few guys that I can count on to be really good players are the ones that I'm going to lose. And that's where they were 5 years ago, right? It was they didn't have a great team. They didn't have an organization that made smart decisions. But what they did have were a couple of really good players that were at the center of it that maybe you were always a couple of really good smart moves away and you just never did that. And then once they're gone, it's just like kind of ground zero. And I don't have any... I do have a fear that they'll be back at kind of a ground zero, you know, type of state of the organization where I'm back to, you know, this is really a future though to me that is without just not Tuck but Dahlin and Thompson and all of these guys hitting the ejector seat the way the last core did. Because if I get to that point, that's where I don't know if people can do it again. That would be another rebuild, is what that would be.
Well, they did finish like 6-3-1 in their last 10 games to climb over Philly and Boston. Otherwise, they're probably, you know, close to last in the East. So again, like
you're saying, they're already there.
I just don't know what would be different. What would it look like? You trade Dahlin for what? You're not gonna trade him for picks. That would never happen. What are you gonna trade if you're even gonna try and do all that and say like, oh, it's time for a complete rebuild? I mean, we used to make these jokes during the Bills drought. What are you rebuilding?
Mm-hmm.
What, this team finished 14th in the East. What are you tearing down?
Like, but aren't you? You're getting further away. You're not getting closer.
It's
almost.
It's harder to. It's hard to be further away. You can trip up. Like it should accidentally finish in 12th.
Oh,
the
I know.
East,
they
which by the way was a playoff spot last year, of course. Sorry.
11th in the East. 11th in the
No. It flipped over to the league setting. So
Okay.
12th in the East is the Islanders, which was not a playoff spot.
Right.
They fired their GM. You know.
Right.
I would love to know what does a rebuild look like? We knew what it used to look like. You didn't have any top end talent. And the pieces they sold way back when, I mean, that's Vanek and Pominville. Those guys are not Eichels and Reinhardts. They sold middle guys because they thought we don't have enough good players. The roster was a mess. Mm-hmm. Ryan Miller also. You know, like I guess I would, outside of the PR side of it, my question would be, why should we treat Alex Tuch like it's more than a free agent just deciding to leave when he's, you know, near 30? That happens to every team in the NHL. And we would be treating it like some sort of death knell just because he liked the franchise.
Right. Well, right. It would be more about, it would, you know, this is a terrible comparison because he is not near this level of player in his sport, but it would feel like when LeBron left home. right? Like, you, not that that was more betrayal, but it was, I'm leaving home because I can't win a title here and because I don't think this organization has it together. And you were right. He was right. But still, like, where did you leave the franchise? Where did he leave the franchise? Again, he's a superstar in his sport. Tuck is not that. But that's my fear, is that the couple of good players here will leave the franchise in a state of being further away than they even are now, which I don't think they were good last year. I don't think they were good the year before that. And I think they've made a lot of the wrong moves. But I do feel like they could be good this year. I think if they're everyone's talking about Adams wants to have this big offseason. All the insiders that have sources are like, oh, Adams wants to have a big offseason. He's letting everybody know. So see if he does that. But if they do that and they make a couple of moves, like, I could get to a spot where I believe by October that they could have a year, that they could push for a playoff spot make it. But if they lose Tuck and then lose another one of their stars on top of that, I'm not believing for a second they're going to come close. Not even close. Not even with a move around them. Like, it's just, you already are pretty thin on reliable, great players at the top, that if I'm going to start losing them one by one from here over the next couple of seasons, then I do think you could be further away than where you are in your with your build of your roster, at least.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no disputing that. Like, you could definitely be further away. You could finish in last. I'm kind of struggling. What would a rebuild look like? How would it look any different? If anybody can actually tell me.
It would be refiring
Delaney's
it up.
Traded for what? Picks? It would never happen. They do it for players. They traded Mittelstadt for a player. They traded they traded for McLeod.
You'll trade him for, you know, the next Alex Tuck. You traded Eichel and you got a player back in that deal. You'll trade, you know, a guy like that and you'll get a good player back that's not as good as the player you're trading away. That's what you'll do, right?
Right.
That's what it'll look like. And I guess that's where I think this season, Paul's comment yesterday is really in my head for this season, that maybe this season is bigger. They all kind of blend together and all feel the same at the end. But if I want to avoid all of this, just having a good year could really push that off, at least, if not kind of kill it. And if they can do anything this year that is just not 70 points and you're out of it by February, then maybe all of this could go away. But I think that kind of puts the onus on this season being meaningful, like really meaningful, to what's the next couple of seasons look like after it. Because if they had a playoff season when, you know, Jack and right before COVID hits, if they had been a playoff team, then does it all fall apart? Maybe everybody gives it a little bit more time because they're just a little bit more willing. But no, there was no proof. There was no proof that that was coming. What they need is proof. And when I say they, I mean the players. They need proof that this thing could actually happen here before they hit the ejector seat. And I think the fans need it too, badly. Yeah. Obviously, if that needs to be said.
Right.
803-0550 is the phone number if you want in on this. Stanley Cup final tonight. I asked Owen and Josh this earlier. Are the Panthers a dynasty if they win tonight?
Were the Lightning?
Were the Lightning? Yes.
Because the Panthers are going for the same accomplishment the Lightning just did. Three straight finals and two wins, back-to-back. We have back-to-back dynasties?
They don't really... If I think of hockey dynasties, does anybody even mention the Lightning?
Well, if you don't mention the Lightning, why do you mention the Panthers?
All right.
I don't know. The Lightning... I went this far, too. The Lightning, in the series that they lost, took it to six games. The Panthers...
Colorado,
in the series
right? Yeah.
Yeah, the Panthers in the series they lost it in five.
To Vegas?
Yeah.
That only went to five games against Vegas? That. Yeah, that might be right. Yeah, against Vegas, they lost in 4-1. Five. Okay, I guess that was a quicker series than I thought it was.
Better dynasty. No, I know.
Because they made it one more game.
That's right. They played one more game in the finals. The thing about the Panthers is I guess they have a bunch of questions to answer this offseason, but I don't think they're going to go away. I don't think they're even close to going away. Like, I think they. I think you could make ask if they are a dynasty. I think they will be one. They'll be back. They'll get the Patriots treatment to some degree, which is who cares if they finish in the standings. I think it'd be the 7th seed next year, and people would say, like, oh, look out. The Chiefs treatment. Doesn't matter what the regular season looks like. We know what they look like when they get to this part. And look out. Whoever gets them in the first round would be an underdog. They could be the 8th seed, and they'd be favored, you know?
Yeah.
I think the Panthers might start to get that treatment.
Yeah. I mean, they made the finals as an 8 seed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought on our Sabres talk conversation. Also, the Red Sox trade this week, they didn't really get into it yesterday in the afternoon show, but I was thinking about trades you hated because of just the guy they traded even more than the move, because the Red Sox did that this week. So a little bit more on that coming up as well. It's the Stanley Cup Final tonight at 8 o'clock. You can listen to that game right here on WGR. It's Jeremy and Joe. Joe Yurden coming up at 9.
I think it's a different answer for each one. For Henderson, I think it's been very fair. I think you're talking about a Defensive Player of the Year candidate last year, 17.5 sacks, years in a row. I mean, in terms of production, up there with any pass rusher in the league over the last 2 years. He's been the 4 straight Pro Bowl for you, the best free agent signing you've ever had. He's showing no signs of slowing down. If anything, weirdly, he's gotten better over the last few years. To get to this point now and say, I really only want to give you a 1-year deal, or we're haggling over guaranteed money, or maybe $2 million per year. It's like, what are you doing? Get it done. Competing franchises would get it done and be happy to do so. So it's fair when you look at that and you say, Bengals, what are you doing? Get, you know, pull your head out of your butt and let's go.
Joe Goodberry on the Bengals yesterday with Schoep and the Bulldog. They're trying to get Trey Hendrickson into the facilities with a contract, but nothing has been done yet. There's Micah Parsons reports, too, that they've been talking, but he's not doing any holdout or anything, at least at the moment. The Bengals, they have a reputation, and they are living up to it this offseason for sure.
He did say that they do some puzzling things. I was listening to that segment, Joe, and he even pointed out how, in some cases, the Bengals inflate the cap hits of certain players on purpose.
Yeah.
So they don't have to pay other players. So
Is that why they're paying T. Higgins like a $20 million cap hit this year in year one?
Basically, yeah. It's kind of the opposite of the Eagles here, where the Eagles are pushing so much money that they can pay more players. And the Bengals are like, oh, no, let's pay a lot of right up front. And then we say, like, well, wait on the cap space. So taking on bigger bills than you have to me, there's that story. We had Mike Jannetty on from SpotTrack last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story about how the NFL might want to get circumvention of the cap down and some of the less cash fluid owners want that. Because you really do have a big disparity where some teams are spending a lot more.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Than other teams, and I guess the Bengals, of course, the reputation, and in practice, I found that to be kind of jarring. Like, what? They're actively inflating their cap number on purpose? Like, okay. It's weird. Very weird situation for Cincinnati.
Meanwhile, they're also going through, like, a stadium thing with the county and the state. Like, the lease is expiring, and they're pushing for a new deal, and that's not going well, so I don't know. They have Joe Burrow, so they'll win at least. Scott in Medina has a thought on our Alex Tuck conversation from last segment on, you know, 1 year left in his contract. A couple podcasts, we just played a clip of Vancouver talking about maybe him as a fit with them. Let's get Scott in on it. What's up, Scott?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, my thought is, you know, with the new additions that the Sabres are bringing in with their front office, you know, if they want their fan base to buy into what they're trying to sell, they need a guy like Alex Tuck, which is a huge fan favorite. You know, good player on the ice, you know, good player, you know, off the ice, you know, it just, he's screams Buffalo. And, you know, if they want people, the fan base, to buy in, they need him to buy in and at least be willing to commit to at least a couple more years and get everybody in, you know, together.
I don't think anybody disputes they need it. What would you do if you were him?
I would honestly stay and to see where it goes because, you know, I'm, you know, excited to see where this goes in regards to the addition of the front office. I mean, after the last couple of years when they fired everybody, it's like, you know, now they're bringing people back because they realize that, hey, we made a mistake. So I think, you know, the future is looking good. So I would stay at least for a couple of years.
I would have to be, if I were him, I would have to be convinced of that. Like, I'd be open to being convinced that they're in the right direction, but I'd have to be convinced. You'd really have to sell me on, like, okay, why am I signing a long-term deal with you? Because Jarmo Kekäläinen's the senior advisor? Like, is that what I'm being brought with? Is, like, that's the reason? I would be skeptical if I were him going into it. I would be open to it, but I would be very skeptical.
One thing about, I'm going to make this point a bunch on Paterka and anybody else that kind of might want to move out, maybe if that's Tucker, whoever it is. This is almost an offshoot, Joe, of middle of the season when I told you that sports fans are not supposed to go through this because you're supposed to get relegated if you're this bad this long,
right?
Or, you know, like that relegation would send you to a lower division and then you would win games and maybe win your way back in and you'd have fun instead of just kind of being stuck in 14th all the time in the conference. And similar to that, as like a this doesn't really happen, a GM missing the playoffs this much, still with the team. And
right,
what would normally happen, and this doesn't mean it has to fail. Don't get me wrong. Like, they can make the playoffs next year if they make the right moves. But the normal life cycle of a team is they fire their GM and the new guy comes in and convinces the players, here's what we're going to do. Instead, Kevin Adams, who would have had to convince Dahlin at that meeting last year when he went and talked to Dahlin. And Kevin Adams, who would have had to convince whoever else along the way when they're trading Eichel and Reinhardt. And Kevin Adams, who would have had to convince Devin Levi to sign. Like, he's been here for quite some time. He's on his third coach with the organization. Mm-hmm. He didn't hire Kruger, but he's on his third coach. So, and can you imagine, is Lindy going to coach past this year?
I would probably bet against it.
I don't know. If he gets him in the playoffs, that's a nice write-off in the sunset scenario. If he doesn't,
right,
that's even kind of more uncertainty.
Right,
so
it almost feels like no matter what, how their season ends, you could see this being the last year.
So the life cycle of a team, this is supposed to, last year or this year, just any franchise, it's supposed to be fresh ideas, new minds, and instead it's the same person has to convince you this time it's going to be different. This time we've got the answers, which is how Adams sounded at the end of last year when he fired Granato and said, I know who's right. I know what we need. I know where we're going. He was bullish about having the ideas and having the answers. And then they had a 13-game losing streak and didn't do anything during it. So
right.
You know, if he comes out of that with the lessons that he learned or whatever, and he tells those to Alex Tuch, I don't know, if you're Tuch, you're like, I've been watching you at this job for a long time. It would feel to me hollow, and not just Buffalo, but any scenario where I've had this guy telling me it's going to get better since the day he brought me in. He traded for Tuch, of course. And
sure, I'm sure he's the phone call when he got told he's coming to the Buffalo Sabres.
And since then, we're on like what? How many former Sabres winning cups elsewhere?
Right. Is it seven?
what's the group chat look like? That's all. Where does Tuch want to go? Like, hey, you know, I got close before. I could be a big part of a good team. Maybe he wants to go to Florida.
I mean, doesn't everybody? Wouldn't everybody?
Yeah.
Look how much fun that looks like. Your team's in the playoffs every year. But beyond even just where you're living and, you know, the taxes, but the team is good every year. Every single year. And I would want that. What makes him a little different is also that he has experienced it before. And you would think that if you've had it, you probably miss it a lot compared to you know, this is not a shot at the fans, but the building is very different than what he would have experienced before in Las Vegas in the first couple of years of the Golden Knights' existence, and then going on a playoff run and what playoff hockey is like. I mean, it's just got to be totally different on every level. And if I was somebody that had been in that, this is why maybe it's going to be a tough job for them to convince him that, no, like, we're on the right track and you should sign a 5-6 year deal here. Like, it really might just take, they're probably, even your points about like Adams, and you've got the same guy telling you maybe similar things over the years, and it's just the same person again. I'd have to see it. For me to even be willing to talk about a deal, I might need to see, all right, yeah, we're in even half the year. You know, it's December and we're in third place. All right, yeah, let's talk. What do you want to do? You want to do $9 million? You want to pay me through the roof? But I got to see it on the ice before I'm willing to lock myself in for the rest of my career.
Well, maybe this entire conversation is a year early. I mean, Tuck can just go ahead and play out his contract this year.
If they're willing to not trade him. You know, are they going to be afraid of losing him for nothing? How are they going to act in that situation?
There's no way they're going to trade him.
Even if he says, I'm not willing to talk?
No, not ahead of this year, no. No, there's no way. The best way to convince him would be to make the playoffs, keep him on the team, try to make the playoffs. And if you don't, the GM maybe gets fired and he leaves. You know,
you think they take it to the very end with him? They would take it to the very end?
Yes, I think. Of Paterka and Tuck, the two guys we've talked about the most this offseason, I would expect Paterka to be traded. I would expect Tuck to not. He'll stay. And if he's playing out the final year of a contract, maybe they're in a playoff spot in, you know, February. And we're feeling good because he gets all of the things he hoped to get when he got here, which is full building, important games, all that. They make it. And like, all right, now I can believe in something going in the right direction. Because it has worked, and we're going to try and build on what we did this past season. But no, trading him, to me, trading him would be, I mean, you could do it at the deadline if you're 5 points out, which I'm sure we'll get ready for those shows. But no, trading him ahead of the year, that sounds nuts. He's one of your best players. What are you trading him for? What are you really getting for a final year of a contract, Alex Tuck?
You're getting things you're not going to want. You're getting a late first round pick, a good prospect, and like a third liner. And who wants
maybe,
that?
Maybe without one of those, maybe two of those pieces.
Right.
So, I don't think they'll trade him. No way.
803-0550 is the phone number. I've got some trivia to get to.
I'm ready.
Some stadium trivia. Did you watch Matt Beauvais, the Fandemonium piece last night?
I did. I've bookmarked all the places to go for it. Yes.
Yep, it's good. I got some stadium-related trivia when we come back on the Bills here in WGR. Final year at the stadium. A lot of memories. Been going through them recently. Check out Matt Beauvais' piece at WKBW. Really good. Last night on the start of the stadium. Trivia. Jeremy, can you give me the 5 quarterbacks, non-Bills, obviously, the 5 quarterbacks who have lost 3 or more times at Highmark Stadium since 2000?
Yes.
One of these I'll be very impressed if you get.
Okay, quarterbacks who have lost 3 times. Tua.
Tua, 5 times at Highmark Stadium. He's not the leader.
Dan Marino.
Since 2000.
Oh, sorry. Gotcha. Since 2000. Okay. All right. Drought era quarterbacks that would have lost to the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Brady only lost twice, didn't he?
Correct. Brady is not on this list, which is unbelievable. He doesn't make this answer.
It's kind of unfair that a guy that played that much lost twice.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like Fitz is an answer. He played for enough teams. He lost as a Jet. Did he lose as a Bengal?
Hold on. I forgot to look at Fitz because I just ruled him out because I crossed off all the Bills, but he
never
might have
played for the Bills.
But he lost he did lose for the he lost for the Jets at Highmark Stadium. He would have lost for Miami? No, he doesn't play that game because Tua did. Remember, he was in for I don't think he's right.
He's not one of your five answers. That's he's not. I'll strike it from the record. That's fine.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Okay, three games. Lost three games. Boy. This is not supposed to be that hard, is it?
Not that hard. It's not the easiest trivia I've ever done, but it's definitely gettable. He did lose with Miami. So Fitz, I think I have Fitz losing twice at Buffalo.
Is there another Dolphin?
There is another Dolphin.
How about Chad Pennington?
Chad Pennington. So that's interesting because...
Jets and Dolphins?
Yes, but he only lost with the Jets.
Okay.
Three times, 2003, 2004, 2006. But he never lost for the Dolphins in Buffalo. But he is correct. Yes.
Oh, okay, it's correct. Pennington. That's two.
Yes, that's two.
You're
still missing the leader with six losses at Highmark Stadium.
Okay, Rodgers only has two. Packers and Jets, right? One time with the Jets, one time with the Packers, that's it?
Does he?
Does he have three? He lost twice with the Packers.
He lost twice with the Packers.
Okay,
and so then Rodgers. Last year with the Jets. So Rodgers, the Bakari-Rambo game. They lose here on Sunday Night Football. Remember the game that Diggs was trying to fight Jair Alexander?
Oh, that's the one I forgot about.
Yeah. Okay. And then last year's Jets game that the Bills ran away with. So that's three for Rodgers.
Okay.
There's another quarterback that, like Rodgers, was very famous, but was more famous for another team, not the divisional team that he played the Bills with.
Ryan Tannehill.
That's not the guy, but he is number one. He lost to the Bills six times at Highmark Stadium. That's the most since 2000.
Okay.
In the last 25 years. Six losses. I think five were with Miami. And then there was the Titans Monday night game.
So then is the only one left that guy famous with another team?
Yeah. This is the one I would have said I would have been impressed that you would have gotten him. You know who this is, like, very clearly. Like, he was a star quarterback, but I don't think he would come right to mind as three.
Hold on. I've got at least two of the losses. No, I got three.
You do?
Maybe. Cam Newton.
Cam Newton's right. You know the third one?
So the first one is EJ's first win.
Yep, Stevie Johnson at the end.
Then there's the Justin Bannon game.
Justin Zimmer game.
Justin Zimmer, thank you. Wrong Justin defensive lineman for the Bills.
Yep.
Was Justin Bannon a fullback? Anyway.
I don't even know who
Justin Zimmer game.
Yeah, the Justin Zimmer game. Punches the ball out.
And then was there a second one with New England?
There's another Carolina game.
Okay, the other Carolina game. It's not EJ's opener.
Nope.
He lost another game here with Carolina. Ooh, that one's going to be tough to pull.
Mm-hmm. It's very tough. Tell me if you remember anything about the Bills winning 31-14 against the Panthers in December of 2021. Because remember, Newton went back to Carolina.
Yeah, that's when they beat Atlanta also late in the season.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, it's okay.
So it's late season. Do they maybe have everything clinched? Like, are they even playing for anything at that point?
Yeah.
I remember things about the Atlanta game. Matt Ryan getting a personal foul penalty, thinking he scored a touchdown, and then he didn't, and then it got reviewed, and he was down, so they had second down from the 16 instead of from the 1.
Right.
All
right, those are the five, huh?
But the Carolina game I've got no memory of. But those are the five, yep. Other quarterbacks that lost twice at Highmark Stadium, Brett Favre, Tom Brady. Lamar Jackson. And anyone else interesting on this list? Phillip Rivers, twice, if you include the playoff game with the Colts.
So Lamar could go to three in the opener.
He could.
He could join the list. Mahomes could go to three. No? No, he's only lost once.
Yeah, no, that's it. Just the one. Bills could beat him for
he's
a fifth
only
year
been
in a
here
regular
like,
season.
Well,
yeah, I don't. He hasn't played three. It times. Is three times. They would have had three to beat times. Him all three. So, yeah. Joe Yurden, when we come back, fire back up our Sabres conversation. Joe from Bleacher Report, his thoughts on Paterka seemingly wanting out and what to do with Tuck. We'll get to it with Joe coming back here on Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.